Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. It is my prayer and desire that you listen carefully, that you learn clearly, and that you seek the truth in all that is said and done. I'm amazed at the number of people today that will listen to CNN or other news outlets that President Trump so aptly calls fake news and derive from that their opinion as though it is gospel. I'm always saddened to see people that want to argue and debate a scenario when they have little, if any, real truth and knowledge about the issue. But as we face the issues each day, we do so on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, based on truth, based on the focus of finding the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself in John 8, 31 and 32 said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." It is truth that we ought to seek to understand, truth that we ought to seek to know, truth that we ought to seek to present to others. And the only way to do that, ladies and gentlemen, is to focus on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called the Bible. God's already told us what he's going to do for the future. He's already laid it out pretty clearly as to where we're going in a world and what is going to be the end result. And that's found in the Bible, the word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed." You're truly my disciples, he's saying, if you continue constantly be in, stay in my word, the word of God. And Jesus then said in John 14, 6, "I am truth." He clarifies that, if you will, not that it has to be clarified, but it's the terminology I'm using. When he gives a definitive dogmatic statement, when he said in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God that ought to be the direction for our lives in all that is said and done. It was George Orwell many years ago that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But it's the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that I admire so much with his statement about truth. He said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And that's what we ought to do as Christians today, ladies and gentlemen. We need to seek the truth. And by the way, you won't find that on CNN. You won't find it on MSNBC. You won't find it in some novel. You will not find it in the dogma and the rites, the rituals, rules, and regulations in most denominations. You'll not find truth in a political ideological bent. You find truth fountainated out of the word of God. And God challenges us in the James text, in the first chapter, in the fifth verse, to seek wisdom. And he's talking about wisdom coming down from God. And then in the third chapter of James, in the 15th verse, James says that earthly wisdom is sensual, demonic, sensual, and demonic. It is devilish. It is not from God. And yet there are multitudes today that are operating on worldly wisdom and not the wisdom of God, the wisdom that God gives us. Wisdom is simply God's direction for us in taking what we know as knowledge and rightly interpreting and rightly applying the knowledge that God gives us. That's wisdom. It takes wisdom to do that. And wisdom comes to us via the Holy Spirit of God. And as we study the Word, meditate on the Word, memorize the Word, allow the Word of God to direct our understanding and our footsteps, then God gives us wisdom in the understanding of what to do. So seek the truth today, ladies and gentlemen, and stand on the truth and defend the truth even to death. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, if I can tuck this little statement in at this point, I believe that we'll see a day in our lifetimes when that will be absolutely necessary for the child of God, for us to stand on the truth, even if it means dying for the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowners' equipment like Honda and Echo. They carry the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full staff of knowledgeable people to answer all of your questions about power equipment for landscape, lawn care, for a professional or for the homeowner, as well as for the Honda generating system for backup during the times of hurricanes. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Good benchmark, a good identifying mark for that. The gigantic flag. The flagpole is standing about 165 feet in the air with a gigantic U.S. flag. Find the American flag at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. Toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about some serious things today, very serious issues. The microphone is open. Your telephone call can go through to our studios and right to our microphones. That's 831-0917, 831-0917. We're talking about freedom dying, the death of freedom, freedom dying. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation continues to face unparalleled times. I don't know of a time in the history of America that we've seen what we're seeing today. Now, I've seen video footage of the 1929, 30, 31, 32, and 33 Great Depression, as it was called, where men of former renown were standing in line for hours and hours and hours to get a bowl of soup and a slice of bread or a biscuit to go with it. And we're almost to that point today, ladies and gentlemen. We've got across America, the food banks are being inundated, bombarded. In some cases, 500 to 1,000 cars backed up bumper to bumper waiting to get a box of groceries to put on the table for their families. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that didn't happen because of business failure. That didn't happen because of national bankruptcies. That didn't happen because businesses had made the wrong decision. That came about as a result of a fiat declarative decision by the government to shut America down. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we've got 25 million people that's out of work, scores of people facing bankruptcy and business failure, not because they did something wrong or they failed to have the proper business acumen, but simply because they were told to shut down, that perhaps they have spent a lifetime. Some of them have spent a lifetime in building a business. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, alcohol, drug sales, abortion are all still alive and well in America today. Pot shops are on every corner open. Booze shops, liquor stores are open. And yet we find today, ladies and gentlemen, according to the statisticians that tell us in their research and the review of that, that we're finding domestic abuse going up exponentially. We're finding alcoholism going up exponentially. We're finding drug crazed people because of drugs available, pot being available, and suicide taking place. We're finding all of these social dysfunctions, if you please, as a result of a governmentally mandated shutdown in America. Ladies and gentlemen, the same time this is happening, a mother can take her two children to a city park. She's handcuffed, arrested, taken to jail. And oh, yes, the two police officers left her two children. They're stranded at the park as they hauled their mother off to go to jail. So what did she do? What was her crime? What did this dear mother in Idaho do that deserved being publicly arrested, hauled off in the back of the police car to jail while her two children were left stranded on the public park? Did she do something in relationship to breaking in a home? Did she harm somebody? Did she shoot somebody? Just what was she guilty of? She violated the stay-at-home order that the mayor of her city had given. Ladies and gentlemen, there's something seriously wrong with this picture. Here's the article. Arrest of an Idaho mother at a closed park playground with her children sparks protest. A mother of two was arrested by police in Meridian, Idaho, on Tuesday after she violated the city's ban against using playground equipment at the local park because of violation of the stay-at-home orders. She was there with other families, allowing their children to play in a closed-off area of the park. Sarah Brady, 40 years old, was arrested, charged by the Meridian Police Department, according to the news release, after the officers responded to a telephone call to their dispatcher reporting the woman. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the snitch system that we've developed in America. That's the brown coat system, brown shirt system that was used by Hitler. That's the system that's been promulgated and pushed in New York State, New York City, and Washington State, Colorado, California, and Oregon, and across America, where people are being encouraged to find your neighbor going out of the home when they shouldn't. If you find them not social distancing, then they're asked to call and report them. In fact, in New York City, they've developed a hotline, a 311 line, where not only can you call, but you can snap photographs of that person that you want to report and send it in. And they're offering rewards for those that do so. Ladies and gentlemen, we're developing a system today that, listen very carefully, we'll never return from. We'll never drop these police state tactics that's being used today. Once they're implemented, they will continue. You remember after 9/11, George Bush and his wisdom, as he saw it, along with others promulgating and pushing him to do so, developed what's called the Patriot Act. It was supposed to be in effect for 5 years. Do you realize the Patriot Act is still in effect today? Do you realize it's as a result of the Patriot Act and some of the tentacles in that that allows the 302 application, the ones that were used against President Trump and the fake, phony, false, farce connectivity where he was supposed to be a tool of Russia? And it was part of the Patriot Act that allowed that. Ladies and gentlemen, I say we need to eliminate the Patriot Act. That's my personal opinion. You may disagree. I think that we need to eliminate anything that we're doing today that allows the police state to be dominant and allowing our citizens to be trodden underfoot and to have our rights and our freedoms trodden upon and foreclosed upon. This article says, and this article about the mother in Idaho being arrested, they said that she had been told to leave the playground many times, at which two videos saw Brady's interaction with the police began circulating across the Internet. One shows the mother arguing with the police that she and others were not trespassing, and she was talking to the officer, and she said, "Are you going to arrest me? Are you going to arrest everyone here for not social distancing?" while pointing out the other off camera. After continuing for countdown from five, the officer handcuffed Brady. As she walked off, another woman from behind the camera can be heard yelling, "Her kids are here. Her kids are here. What's going to happen to her kids? What about her kids?" Ladies and gentlemen, that's a shameful act of force as a result of a mayor that's instructed the police department to go out and arrest citizens for disobeying a rule or regulation or a fiat decision that is unconstitutional from the face of it. I believe I have a call on the line. Go over your question or comment, please.
Yes, Doc. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I need to pick your brain, and it sounds like today may be the day to do it. I've got three questions I'd like to put in play, if I may, with your permission.
All right.
I want to preamble them with just a couple of comments. The first is, considering what happened on 9/11 as a surprise, did you ever think in your lifetime that America could change so radically overnight to the point that we are, as you've been discussing today? Did you ever in your wildest dreams think that?
If you had asked me 60 days ago If you had asked me 90 days ago, if you had asked me 6 months or a year ago, I would have said emphatically no. It would be an impossibility for America to overnight, like switching a light switch on or switching it off, I would have said it would be an impossible for the federal or state government to simply, for example, say to churches, shut your doors, stop preaching, and the churches would do so. I would have said that it would be an impossibility to find a nation today where drones are being used to fly over and take a person's body temperature and the invasion of that, that they can order that person to stand still until a police officer arrives, handcuffs them, puts them in the back of the car, hauls them off to a local hospital so that they can be tested and then quarantined for 14 days without a warrant, without sufficient information, and doing so in violation of our Bill of Rights. I would have said all of the things that we see happening would have been impossible.
Well, you are setting up, well, three questions I want to ask. And I agree with you because since as recently as 2016, I've put in writing to very distinguished people my firm belief that we were entering into God's judgment and it was about to fall. I wrote a letter to a distinguished government leader in 2019, and on January the 2nd, 2020, before coronavirus became an issue, I wrote a very definitive letter to a senior national institution saying, we are now under God's judgment. Not we will fall, but we are now under God's judgment. So I've been expecting this for a lot of reasons. Now, even having said that, I'm absolutely floored by the speed at which this has descended on us. Now, here are three questions for you, three things that, if you don't mind, sometime during the remainder of this program, please address. And here's the first one. Good sir, do you think that America will ever be the same again? Question two. Is it conceivable, God forbid it, but is it conceivable that our beloved country helped develop this virus? And thirdly, as a retired military officer, I still practice the six principles of the code of the American fighting man. And I will maintain faith with my government and think the best of it up until a certain point. And I'd like you to help me discern when that point is. When do I decide whether to submit to the orders of my government or to resist and accept the punishment? Three questions, good sir. Perhaps we can address it on this program at some point today. And thank you for your time and your wisdom. God bless you.
Thank you so much for those questions. Very poignant questions, very real questions. Answer number one, do I feel that the nation will ever go back to what we call normal? My answer is unequivocally, emphatically, no. We will never go back to the days prior to COVID-19, the coronavirus. We'll never go back to the normal because what we have developed overnight, ladies and gentlemen, is a snitch system, number one. That system says that I'm going to watch my neighbor. I'm going to watch what he or she's doing. I'm going to report to them because I've been asked to do so by my government. I'm going to report to the government, the police department, or the local officials when I see them doing something that I personally feel is out of order or that is wrong. I'm going to report their tag number. I'm going to report their home address. I'm going to report that they are walking too close to someone else. So that is going to be one of the things that will never go back to normal. And secondly, we have never seen in the history of our nation where we've instituted any plan, any police invasion, any police state, any martial state apparatus. We've never seen that take place where we ever retracted that, removed that, and we've taken it out of the reality of where we are. So we're watching the tectonic shift in American culture, in American policy and procedure, in American jurisprudence. We're watching a tectonic shift in what we accept as Americans. And to prove that, ladies and gentlemen, everyone that I'm listening to now, for the most part, you're shut down in your home someplace. You're sequestered under a bed or in your closet, as Bill Barr called it, being staying in your home under the bed in lockdown. In fact, Bill Barr has said, that's the Attorney General of the United States, he said several times of late, that we have gone overboard. We have found governors and mayors that have instituted rules and regulations that are fiat, that are absolutely unconstitutional and therefore unenforceable, and so therefore we will never see that change. Now, yes, already in America, we've got some probably 40 or 50 or more cases already filed where churches and pastors have filed suit against the federal, state, and local governments for overriding their authority and for undermining the Bill of Rights and our rights of religious liberty and freedom of speech. That's already happening. And I've said for several days now, I believe that it's time we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of businessmen that will grow a backbone and say, we're going to open our business. We're not going to be forced to be closed unless you have some reason that you've gone to court and you've got a court order and a restraining order where the law of the land says that you must close. So, yes, we're seeing a tectonic shift. We're watching governmental intrusion. We're watching today, ladies and gentlemen, where police state mentality, literally with an iron hand, rules America. If you don't believe that, look at what Northam, Governor Northam, has done in Virginia. Under the cloud of darkness, under the cloud of emergency, under the cloud that is fixed because of the COVID-19 virus, as a result of the people being locked away at home, could not go and demonstrate, could not go and object, could not go and ask questions. And as a result of that, the Governor Northam in Virginia has passed, has signed into law 212 bills. A large portion of those confiscating weapons and banning the Second Amendment right under the guise of the coronavirus and what it supposedly has done. Going back to a further question of our previous caller, and that is, when do we take the stand? How long are we going to be, as Americans, abused by the long arm of the so-called law? Ladies and gentlemen, I have studied enough on it. I'm not an attorney. I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but I am a constitutionalist. I believe I understand our Constitution. I believe I understand the intent of our founding fathers. I believe I understand the intent of the Constitution and what it would be for and how it would be carried out. It's not an evolving document. It's not a living document. It's a sustainable, solid, standard, stay-in-its-place document, if I could use that term. That is, it's not to be altered. It's not to be modified. It's not to change with societal norms or trends. It is to remain in effect. And that being the case, ladies and gentlemen, even Judge Andrew Napolitano has said that what these governors have done, what these tin-horn mayors have done, have all been unconstitutional. Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Only in a legislative session, whether it be local through a city council or board of aldermen or through a state house of representatives and senators, where laws are in, bills are introduced, they're bounded about, they're debated, they're argued, then voted on, and if the citizens do not like it, they can replace the representative and go back and change the law. But that is not what we see taking place. We see judges making the law. We see the mayors making law. We see governors making law. And it's absolutely unconstitutional and ought to be at some point in time where we the people stand up as Peter did in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, and will simply say, we ought to obey God rather than man. And ladies and gentlemen, as our previous caller said, I believe we're under the judgment of God. I believe we're watching God's hand of judgment bringing America and, yes, the globe to our knees, that we will then confess our sins, repent of our sins, seek God's face, and ask him to heal our land. And I've simply paraphrased 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. So I'm passionate about it, and I'm very, very concerned as to where we are in America today. And we are allowing it, ladies and gentlemen, and of the all people on the face of the globe, Christians ought to recognize that we ought to obey God and not man. And any time a governance or a law, a secular law of government, of civil government, any time it counters or contravenes or undermines or eviscerates the law of God, the word of God, we ought to obey God and not man. And there's not one reason that churches should have been closed, and yet liquor stores open, abortion clinics open, tattoo parlors opened, and in many of the states, pot houses open, and gambling houses still open, and yet churches are considered non-essential, and we should close them. That is egregious, that is unholy, that's ungodly, that's unbiblical, and we ought not to allow that to be sustained. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Doc. I was wondering about the 22 states and 43 law and agencies using drones. Do you think that we'll be flying over any subdivisions? Do you think this is going to get a little more into privacy and a little more into going through seeing people standing in their yards with a few of their neighbors not standing far enough apart? I'm a little concerned about that. But I'm more concerned about also another question. Will we have forced vaccinations? And will those vaccinations, do you think those vaccinations will have chips in them? How concerned should we be about that? Those are my questions.
I think we should be gravely concerned about both the issues that you bring up. And I'm thankful that you asked those questions, because those are perhaps two of the most vital aspects and tentacles of what we see taking place today. Yes, I believe that we're watching Big Brother expand the governmental authority over us, and it violates the Fourth Amendment, where there cannot be a search or seizure without a warrant. Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. If somebody were to come to your door at law enforcement with a badge or a gun, and they say, we want to come in and search your house, under the law, under our Constitution, they cannot do so unless they have a warrant. In that warrant, they must, in specificity, say what they're looking for, what they intend to find, and where they intend to find it before they can walk in your home. But with a flying drone, and these drones are flying as low as 190 feet above our heads, they're claiming they're now patrolling the beaches and the public parks and the public spaces. But don't you dare think by any stretch of the imagination these law enforcement officials will not take their badge a little further than it ought to and say that we're going to fly over this subdivision, and they do so, and they can in fact, with those drones, read your tag number. They can make the determination when you go, where you go, how long you stay. And yes, I believe that we're going to see that continue unless we have William Barr, our Attorney General of the United States of America, step in and on behalf of the citizens, or along with citizens' complaints, file in our courts a question that the Supreme Court justices must ask, and that is, can we allow this in America? My answer is no, unequivocally, as we study the Constitution and as we understand it. I'm looking at a list of headlines here. Coronavirus police to deploy talking drones over Florida beaches and New Jersey. Another one says, this new Corona spy drone will make sure that you stay at home. Another says, as Big Brothers expand, government drones are now taking America body temperatures. FAA probing the anti-COVID-19 drones flying over New York City. Coronavirus bill establishes national surveillance of health care. The rise of drones, unmanned vehicles become the tool in the coronavirus battle. Here's another, says drones from China company cause spying concern among experts. Yes, we're going to watch that expand, and I'm saddened to see that, because it's taken away. It's contravening our Bill of Rights. It is eviscerating the rights that every citizen in America should expect to have, and that is privacy without Big Brother watching. And to the second question that you had in relationship to the mandated vaccine, listen to what's happening today. This is happening in America today. Every time you turn on television and you see the white jackets, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and others, as you see the white jackets speaking to us by way of the interviews in the afternoon about the coronavirus update, they're all saying that we need to expand testing. There's some of the cities and some of the states who are already calling in the National Guard to go out throughout the subdivisions and by request, and I would say force, knock on the door and say, we're here to test you. Out of all of the testing, and by the way, it's been proven now, and I've got documents on it, that the most of these tests cannot give an absolute definitive answer of positive or negative. In fact, most of the time, it is an incorrect positive that it might show. But ladies and gentlemen, the end result of that is everybody's going to be required to have a vaccination. Listen carefully in these final moments before we take our break. In these final days, we're going to see the push for every human being to be vaccinated. And that vaccination is going to be required if you have any insurance, if you have Medicare, Medicaid, if you receive any governmental disability benefits. They're going to use the tools of the long arm of the federal government to force every human being in America to have a vaccination. And yes, it will have the little ID chip that Bill Gates and his organizations have already developed. It will not be a chip like a grain of rice. It'll be injected by that little patch like a Band-Aid that will penetrate the skin and insert in it an ink dye that cannot be seen. That is the chip. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a one-minute break at the top of the hour for the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back to continue Let's Face the Issues.
To learn more, visit conservative.edu.